Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, and hear, O Israel. All right, y'all.
Thank you.
all praises belong to our Elohim, the great Ehayah Ashar. Yah, we praise you this morning. You know that sound right there is a powerful sound, and I'd like you to get used to hearing that on the Shabbat, because when that trumpet was blown, known as the shofar of an elk's horn or a ram's horn that has been cleansed and sanctified to produce a distinct sound, it was either time for a high holy day, an assembly, or time for all 12 tribes to assemble for war. And I say to you this morning, we're assembling for war, and we're assembling for a high holy day. I know all hell's trying to break loose in your life because it's trying to break loose in mine. But my father told me to count it all joy, because that Hashatan means for evil, he's going to sure enough turn it around and make it good. And even more so to those that keep the Sabbath and the commandments. With that being said, let's go to our Abba in prayer. Our Kodesh Abba, which art in heaven, set apart be your name. And may your kingdom come. And may your will be done on this earth, just as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now lead us not into temptation, we ask you, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. This is a day that you have made. Father, we stand still. We stand still in your presence. I know you're here because I praise you. Hallelujah. You said you inhabit the praises of Israel. Truly a lost art amongst your people. They left it at the church. They left the church because they in the truth, but they left the praise right at the church. Teach my people how to praise you again. We worship you in spirit and in truth with everything we have and everything we can get our hands on. Drums, trumpets, harps, guitars, pianos. We are grateful for what you've given us. We know it's a trick of the enemy to cause us to focus on what you have not given us, knowing that what you don't give us is for our own good. But we thank you that you're smiling down on Israel that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth today, because this is a sign between us and you. I thank you that we can show forth a sign that you know us and that you love us. I ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world calls Jesus Christ, that you will bless my people on today, as long as they not use their own words and think their own thoughts, that you'll give them fresh thoughts, fresh words, fresh insight, fresh revelation. Bless the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors, the apostles. That's right, you gave a fivefold calling, and we are not walking away from the doctrine that our HaMashiach laid down. Dispersed through the apostles, as we were to develop churches throughout the four corners of the earth that would teach the Ten Commandments. I rebuke those charlatans, those workers of iniquity, those pork belly eating Sunday preachers that are lying to our people in the name of Yeshua. May our people begin to be able to look past the lies and wake up. Curse everything that turns its back on you to celebrate some type of pride. We come against it. We unite this morning in the spirit. We unite. We unite in the spirit with our brothers and our sisters. So many looking for prayer. So many hurt by the killing of our people. So many hurt by destitute situations. So many hurt by unforeseen attacks. So many disappointed, but Father, I pray that we will repent from our heart as David knew how to repent, and that we would keep it pushing and keep it moving as Paul knew how to keep it moving, even with a thorn in his side and with all the wrong he had done, killing our people. I praise you in advance for what you're going to do throughout the earth on this day, because this is our faith. Keeping these commandments and keeping this holy day, we waiting on you. We waiting on you. We waiting on you, big brother. We waiting on you. Pray that you'll find us ready when you return. We ask these blessings in the name of our brother Yeshua HaMashiach. So be it. Amen. Welcome to where we at? What is this? Blueprint for Life. And this is all about the Shabbat, our Sabbath. This is our high holy day. Ain't no none of this when Sunday comes. That's a slave mentality because they let you up out the field and let you stop picking cotton in 100 degree weather. So you thought Sunday was a time to take a break. This is it right here. And it started sundown last night, Friday, at 6 p.m. because Genesis tells us in the first chapter that the evening and the morning are the first day. So we kicked it off last night with a little worship, prayer, praise. I didn't get to take my communion, but you best rest assured I'll get to that in due time. But what I did do was reflect on his goodness. What I reflected on was how he said, David said, I once was young, now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You know he'll never leave you, brothers and sisters. You've got to have mountains, peaks, and valleys. Blueprint for Life is designed to talk about nothing but the statutes, laws, and commandments that should provide some structure for your life and actually become a blueprint to a blessed Kodesh life. There's enough going on to the point to where you shouldn't be talking about, can I get away with, and I need to take a break now. We need to live this lifestyle right here in order to be healthy, stress-free, blessed, resilient, know how to bounce back because troubles will come. Blueprint for Life is brought to you right here by Blog Talk Radio, Social Change Action Network, and At Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance, which is Al Moida. And our goal here is we're restoring the cultural identity of Black America, one Hebrew mind at a time. All praises. Shout out to my brothers and sisters out here in the area. Brother Ray, Brother Rod, Brother Tony, Brother D, new sister we met, Sister Lisa, quite a few other people that are in our immediate area. And the reason I'm talking about that, what was her name?
Linda.
Like, who the heck is Lisa?
Uh-huh.
I don't either. And you know why I say that? Because I was talking to Brother D earlier in the week. We got to get from behind these laptops and computers thinking we're doing something. That's a part of the work, but that's a minute part. Can't lay hands on the sick on the computer. Can't anoint on the computer. Can't rebuke, bring before the elders and talk about things face-to-face on the computer. Okay? You can't have that where two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm in the midst on the computer. So it's time to start breaking that. And I don't care if it's just you and your neighbor down the street that know this truth, that we got to come into it. So that's why I salute all of you within your region that even after this time is done, you'll, you know, maybe look at a few videos, learn a little Hebrew, study some scriptures. But if you can fellowship with someone or if you can go do good for someone, someone may be in the hospital or something like that. You want to be a blessing to somebody. Move forward and do those things. It's always a blessing to, even if your parents are close and you need to check on them. Fifth commandment said to honor them. But for the most part, we stay in our place. We try to stay out the marketplace. Now, of course, we have grace, but we don't abuse grace. Because even Yeshua said, I mean, if your ox fall in the ditch, what you going to do, let it die because it's the Sabbath? Nah, you're going to go get that ditch out because you know you got to eat Monday and put that ox to work. So let's be practical. Let's not be ridiculous. As a lot of you Hebrew Negroites are ridiculous with this stuff. You didn't even want this staunch in the Christian church or in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So come on. So let's be practical. Let's be very practical. All praise. We got a few things we're going to talk about. And if you want to call in any questions or comments, feel free to do so. The guest call-in number will be 213-769-0910. I do have a lesson, and we're going to talk about the laws, the commandments, and address some of the things that I was actually just praying about. But as we always do, I'm going to turn it over to Sister Tamar so we can talk about some health things. But I'll be right here because I got some things I want to talk about with health too, because that is the battlefield. It's a serious battlefield right now.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Again, thank you for tuning in to Blueprint for Life. I am Sister Tama, and I hope you're enjoying your day of rest, as I always do. But we're going to go ahead and talk about some rest. So on last Tuesday, I didn't do the Heart of a Hebrew Woman, but I did do it on Thursday, and I did not bring a herb of the day on Thursday. So I'm going to do two herbs to make up for what I didn't bring on Thursday.
Yeah, tune into that show. It's called Waiting to Exhale.
It's not called
that. Well, they was ready to set the place on fire, but go ahead.
No, the show was about dealing with anger. So if you have someone that's dealing with some anger issues, have them tune into that show. Okay, so the first herb we're going to talk about is papaya leaf. And that's P-A-P-A-Y-A leaf. It has your nutrients, which is calcium, iron, magnesium, potassium, zinc, vitamins B2, B1, B3, B5, and C. Again, it interacts with warfarin, which is a blood thinner. So if you're on that, you might want to be cautious or speak with your physician about that. Papaya contains an enzyme which breaks down proteins in the digestible state. It has it's very beneficial for the your digestive system, irritable bowel syndrome, heartburn, ulcers, internal bleeding, worms, enlarged liver and spleen, and an increased milk production, of course, in the mother who's breastfeeding. It has also been used to dissolve corns, warts, and pimples. So if you have those issues, papaya leaf will help with that. It will also help with open wounds and for a cleaning discharge of the middle ear. So that's your papaya leaf. The next herb we're going to talk about is paprika. Paprika, P-A-P-R-I-K-A. Paprika is only nutrient is vitamin C. But it can be used to normalize your blood pressure, improve circulation. It increases the production of the saliva and stomach acid to aid digestion. It's high in vitamin C. Paprika contain 6 to 9 times as much vitamin C as tomatoes by weight. So that was paprika. It's very high in vitamin C. So those are papaya leaf and paprika.
Well, let me piggyback off the paprika. That paprika is in the capsicum family. It means it's close to, it's a close cousin to cayenne pepper. And it's been noted, not just said, that if you're suffering a heart attack or a stroke, if you were to take, and it'd probably be hard to pepper, it will reverse the effects. So this paprika, we all use it, using potato salad, all kind of stuff, chicken. And
but we use very little because we're
very little.
Yeah, and we should
probably go extreme, huh? Especially it has so many health benefits. I didn't know it had that much vitamin C.
Sorry, that's the cat one.
I'll rebuke you in the name of your shop. You want to wait till we get on the show and start talking about meow? Well, I can't wait till I get a dog. Excuse me, brothers and sisters, that's the cat. I'm telling you, that cat does not meow until we start teaching.
Right.
Also, I want to talk about something that we saw at Whole Foods, because Whole Foods is a joke. Matter of fact, Amazon Books is getting ready to buy Whole Foods. They just submitted the deal. So you know it's going to be all GMO. Whole fake foods is what it is. I was pretty startled to walk into Whole Foods and they're selling, in a clamshell jewel box, strawberry cherries. So now it's a hybrid to where they're mixing cherries with strawberries. So that's actually playing with the DNA and splicing the genes of the fruit. Now they've been doing this for a while. You probably heard of pluots. With pluots, you know, the Most High checked me about that, because in the laws he tells us not to mix certain things. And not to combine even certain garments and things like that. So we want to be mindful of those kind of things, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. And there's a lot of splicing of the genetics and animals. And I mean, come on, think about it. Scientists playing around with our fruit up in a lab and then putting it out for sale and pretty much testing it on you. And you're being a guinea pig, because if they're not doing long-term testing, they don't know what the effects of combining certain fruits and certain animals together. And then we don't know, but I have heard that they inject pork into a lot of these fruits because it helps as a form of natural pesticide.
Mm.
So we have a lot to combat with when it comes to these foods and different things like that.
Right. I totally agree. I also wanted to bring about water. I did some research on water. I read an article, I think it was last week, about it. And it brought about some good information. So what it says is that, of course, we know we're supposed to have, what is it, eight glasses of water a day. So we already know that. But I know me, myself, my daughter, and Elder V will always bring a glass of water to bed. Because in the middle of the night, you know, we wake up, have a sip, whatever. But I read this story about water, and it said that before you go to bed, you should drink one glass before you go to bed, one full glass of water. That should help you sleep. Of course, you know, if you drink more than that, you're going to wake up, you know, because you have to go to the restroom, whatever the case may be, if you drink too much. But it said one glass. And it said if you wake up in the middle of the night and drink water, that it contributes to, it will intensify the fact that you may get a heart attack. And that comes from, I guess, just waking up out of that deep sleep. And stop. Sorry. And so it spoke against drinking water in the middle of the night, that you should drink it before you go to bed. And then when you wake up to get ready to go to work or whatever you have going on, you should drink two glasses of water to get your day started, because it gets your organs moving and everything starts, you know, running properly. It clears everything out from, you know, you laying down and sleeping as everything is rest. So I thought that was very interesting. I started doing it myself. I've been waking up drinking glasses of water, but I didn't know that if I keep waking up in the middle of the night drinking water, that it can cause those complications with our hearts and our system. So we want to just be mindful. I know, you know, some people get water poisoning. I've heard if you drink too much water, I've heard people have died because of that. So, you know, and like always, anything that's in excess, we're constantly eating or drinking, you know, it will have its long-term effects. So just be mindful of, like Elder V said, especially with these vegetables and fruits, we have to be careful. And, you know, we don't know what's going in them. You know, unless you have your own garden and growing, you know, fruits and vegetables, we rely on these stores. We rely on these markets. And then I'm sure some of the farmers markets might have some as well. We just have to, you know, just be careful and prayerful.
I kind of like the farmers markets because I noticed that the fruit and vegetables don't last long.
That's
and
right.
And that's a good sign.
Right.
It's actually a very good sign.
Right.
And by the way, if you have to wake up in the middle of the night drinking water, all y'all out there, you know it's because you're already dehydrated.
Right.
It's too late. That means you're already in a bad state.
Right.
So
you
need to drink a lot of water before you go to bed. If you're going to bed after drinking like a 12-pack of Michelob, yeah, you're going to be waking up all night trying to drink water.
Right.
So.
And I think, too, you know, sometimes it does get dry through the night. It gets hot, especially we've just had the stench of hot heat over 100 degrees. You know, sometimes you'll want to get up because you're sweating at night and get some water. But again, you know, like Elder B said, if you're drinking water every night in the middle of the night, you're dehydrated. And so I hope that you guys during the summer are getting your water supplements. Watermelon is a good source of water. Cucumbers, I mean, just try to eat a lot of veggies and fruit that has water in it so you won't be dehydrated, so you won't end up in the hospital. And so, as always, again, we just want to remind you that we are not doctors, we're not physicians, we're not herbalists. We're just all about passing on information to our people so they can be healed and set free. We know the ultimate healer is our Abba, our Father. He will heal us. But as long as we're not in sin, we have to keep these commandments. I want to do a few announcements.
Oh, you had a reminder from Brother D.
Okay.
You know he's the invisible preacher on this lesson. Deacon Demetrius. Hey, he said, don't forget that Whole Foods is using prison labor. And people don't
That's
know
right.
that.
That's
so
right.
they're a part of the industrial prison complex.
That's right. That's right.
And they're treating our brothers like animals inside these prisons. And then they start turning into animals and living like animals, fighting each other because they're caged up. They're giving them any kind of food.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving them all the shots that we say you shouldn't have, and they won't let them take a proper shower. bad water. Pray for our brothers and sisters that are locked up. And then they want them to be exposed to homosexuality. They're treating them like animals. And
it's like they're getting off on them. I don't see any.
It's a new form of slavery.
I mean, all of this, working for the man is a new form of slavery. Helping them build their corporations.
Do I have something personal going on?
That's just sad. But at the end of the day, yes, we do need to pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray that they will come into the awakening of the truth and be transformed by the renewing of their mind. So a couple of announcements. On Tuesday, Multi Willing, we'll have a Heart of a Hebrew Woman show. Are we doing that this week because we're going on vacation?
Tell the whole world.
Sorry.
You'll probably hear from us. We'll be on a tropical island somewhere, but we'll probably be able to turn on our phones and holler at you.
Okay. So I don't know how long this show will be on Tuesday, but most high willing, I'll do a Heart of a Hebrew Woman, maybe 30 minutes. Wednesday, Elder B will do the inspirational.
Everything
Wednesday.
Will be in the morning.
And if that's correct. and for, yeah, that's right. It will be in the morning. Thursdays. There's no show. Fridays we'll be preparing for the Shabbat, most high willing, and next Saturday we will be back live here with the lesson. We have an upcoming gathering.
Still wait to talk to the brother in Seaside. Shout out to him. We had a good time.
Yeah, wonderful time last weekend. We traveled down the Seaside. If you listen to our show, it was very brief as we were trying to get down to support our brother and our sister. Shout out to Sister Joyce, who did a beautiful job getting the food prepared. I mean, she is truly a sister of the Most High, and I appreciate the fact that she was able to get those things gathered. Truly love her. Much love. And so we just want to make sure that if we're going to do it up here or there, we'll let you guys know. Through the airways, we have a high holy day that will be fast approaching. These months are moving fast. We're almost in July. So we got to make sure we are bringing in these high holy days and getting prepared for, you know, the wrap-up of them. So, anything else? Okay, with that said, I am Sister Taman. I'll turn it back over to Elder B.
Okay, brothers and sisters, before I get into quite a bit of things I want to get into, and I wanted to talk about some of these what you call Hebrew current events. I know a lot of people were troubled at this Philando Castile shooting, and I realized that they came to put this on TV a lot. That's called predictive programming in MK Ultra.
So let's go back and talk about what that is, what it happened, because I don't know anything about that.
Philando Castile is when he was stopped and pulled over with his girlfriend and child in the car for a broken taillight.
All right.
And he had a license. He had a gun on him because he's licensed to carry. But ain't no black man supposed to be able to carry in America. They don't care about you having a license to carry. They say that's a reason to shoot you, which is what they did. The man never even got a chance to put his hand on the gun. He told him, I have it. He thought he's going to pull it out. And he's definitely a coward cop if you look at him. And he shot him about 5 times in front of his girlfriend and the child in the back seat. Did not care about that child or bullets flying. And if you look at the thing, you see the child running out the car after his daddy got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks your heart and hurts your heart.
Right. I mean, what are you not supposed to do? Tell them that you're carrying this weapon, you know? I mean, and then they search it, they find it. You should have the proof, or?
Yeah, well.
I mean, how do you protect yourself against that?
These incidents are pissing us off, and you're supposed to tell them he did. If you don't tell them and it's a surprise, then the same thing's liable to happen. But what I got to say, brothers and sisters, is that these are a part of the curses. We are under the curses of Israel, and we're going to read that today, Daniel's prayer in the 9th chapter. But I'm noticing that we as Israel are being polarized by a mechanism called TV news and media by what they keep showing us. And a lot of people got stuck when they saw what transpired, and they see the footage This is all on purpose. This is to get you to not move forward in doing what you're supposed to do if you are awakened and you are in the truth. And that is our assignment, and that is our job as being in the truth, is to tell our people why these things are happening and what to do, what we must come back to, and the God we must come back to, and why these people hate us with an everlasting hate. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we're praying for the sins of our forefathers, and we are under the curses. And the only protection, halfway protection, that you will have, and I don't mean to call it halfway, but in this life, is by keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. Other way to live. This is important right now because I'm noticing all the distractions in Israel. I'm noticing people fighting with other Israelites on videos and YouTube and Twitter, and everybody's got something to say about somebody else and how that brother did me, and no love is being found, and we're not following holiness, and we got a problem with everybody. And, you know, that's why it's hard for me to just carry things. I'm going to rebuke you where you stand in front of two or three and you don't receive it, but because when I'm done, I'm going to shake the dust, because if I let it stay in me, it will build like a pressure, like a boiler, and it will blow. Which is why if you think your brother has an ought against you, you go to him. But us making these videos, they're watching us come apart. Let me talk to you also real quick about Facebook, Twitter, social media. You don't think they're not utilizing it and watching with algorithms what you like to watch and feed information to you? Half the people that you think are Facebook friends are really controlled by Facebook, Twitter, and social media. They're called trolls and bots. They have programming that will talk back to you and will attack you as a person and your comments that you put on Facebook. This is all controlled by the NSA, and there's predictive programming in this. If you're not opening up this Bible, opening up this book, and finding other books to study and buying books for your house, and because if you're depending on the internet and Facebook and what you see on Facebook for a lesson, what to teach on, what to respond to, you're in trouble already. Because they already know that we're awake, and they want to keep us asleep by giving you disinformation. Facebook has 7,000 people that don't do nothing but read the posts all day to see what y'all posting. So there is a dossier on all of you so-called Hebrews that are awake. But they want to see what kind of work you're doing, where you're traveling, who you're preaching to, how many people you're influencing. It was the FBI said that let's keep an eye on them to keep a Messiah from rising amongst them that will solidify, gather the people, and get them all together on one accord. We already have a Messiah. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. He's already brought us together for those that are washed in his blood, believe in him, and will follow his teachings, his ways, and go make disciples of men. Not Christians on the usher board, on the choir, or the praise team. Somebody who keeps the commandments. The attacks have to stop. Focus on other people. The gossiping. The lying. We, because of the curses, hate each other. So I adjure you and implore you, brothers and sisters, to not let hate fester in your heart amongst your brothers and sisters. Let's get a scripture real quick as we do a study of the laws. Now, I want to look at 1 John 2:9.
First John 2:9 says, he that...
Can you say it a little louder?
1 John 2:9, he that saith he is the light and hated his brother.
He that says he has the light.
He that saith he is in the light.
There you go.
And hated his brother is in the darkness until now.
The ones that say, I have the light, I am awakened, I have Yeshua, Yeshua's in my life. But you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. This is why you're talking about some people, some of y'all rebuking people because you hate them. You literally have hate in your heart's form. And we need to check ourselves. We'll look at another black person still and be like, look at her.
Right.
Look at him.
Or we won't even speak.
We got to break that curse. I'm going out my way. My wife will tell you to speak to black folks and make them speak to each other. Right. And they'll walk in, hey, man, how you doing? I got crazy yesterday and talked to a brother who walked in a cupcake place inside of a hall in a white city with Edomites. And I said, hey, man, I got to talk to you because there ain't too many of us out here. And that sounds funny, and he laughs. But it's like, how could you be in a strange land, strange people, and hate each other and ignore each other?
Right. You know, and it's just my experience, and I'm not trying to, you know, say that it's the best place. But, you know, down south, you didn't have that problem. We would walk down the street. We didn't know each other. We spoke. We were kind. We would bring people into our home and feed them. I didn't experience that until I started moving westward. In Colorado was my first experience. I thought something was wrong. When I saw other blacks that looked like me didn't speak. And then the same thing here in California. So, you know, I know we're in the same world, but I guess different, I don't know, what is it, upbringings or I don't know what to call it, but it's just different. I mean, because, again, I didn't experience that growing up. Everybody spoke, loved on each other. Still had hate, though, you know.
In this last hour, the love of many shall wax cold. Mm. And it's waxing colder, but even more so in these areas where they think they're affluent or they think they've arisen. You got
right.
these boule blacks, and they want to get on a status and a social level. And if you go to an area that's predominantly money, as Northern California is, it's all about looking at what you have. And so they're deceived. So let me read the rest of this. And hateth his brothers in darkness even until now. But verse 10 says that he that loveth his brother, that's the one who abides in the light. When we talk about the light, talking about I'm in the truth. Brother, how long you been in the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You still not in the truth because you hate this camp. You hate that camp.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even look past the camp and say that is my brother, though.
Right.
We may not agree doctrinally because I know I did read where Yeshua said the rest I will fix when I come. He gave a certain core foundations of doctrines we must understand, things we must do, but he said the rest I will fix when I come. He knew that there was going to be stuff that he had to take care of and straighten out when he come. How dare you negate the omniscience of the Most High Yah and think he did not know we would be in the disposition we're in now? You got to be kidding me if you think he didn't know he was going to be fighting over the name, wearing different colors, trying to kill and stab each other's character and bring each other down. He knew. He like, look at my people. Boy, they something else. Who are going to be the ones that are going to pray for us and still love on each other?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to compromise because some of these doctrines are wrong, telling you you don't have to baptize, telling you that I believe in reincarnation. You believe in reincarnation, then what the hell are you trying to live right for? You're going to get a second chance. You might as well go to church on Sunday, too, and go sit on the pew.
Might as well break these laws.
Yeah.
You can come back and get a second chance.
Some things are just common sense that our people don't have any practicality to look past these things. You know, I remember I was when I was first coming to the truth, the Christians used to tell me that every day is a Sabbath. Yeshua's our Sabbath. Yeah, but nigga, when you wake up Monday, you got to go to work.
Right.
Because you're still up under these commandments.
That's
you got to
right.
pay your bills. You're in slavery.
Right.
Every
right.
day is not the Sabbath.
No.
But today is because I'm not working for nobody. And not worried about my bills because he gave me double yesterday, so I don't have to stress the day. Because when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and he said when Friday came, he would give them double manna. And what else? Double quail. He gave them, you know, because he kept raining food out of the air, gave them substance. He said, but on Friday before the Shabbat, on the sixth day, I'm going to give you double. And it's going to last because also, and I should read this, but you'll find it. I want you to find it. The manna and quail that he would release on a daily basis to feed them, it would spoil the next day, that night. It would spoil. They couldn't keep it and hold it and hoard it. The Most High doesn't like that hoarding. He wanted them to depend on him and have faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it was no good the next day. But on Friday, it stayed for 2 days so that they didn't have to look, want, ask, cook for nothing. Man, this Sabbath is deep. People don't even really get it. Let me finish reading this because this is powerful. He that loveth his brother abideth in the truth, in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Do you know how powerful that is, what I just said? If you love your brother, you are really in the truth, and there's no occasion for you to stumble and fall. So when you find yourself falling and slipping, go with me there for a second. It's generally because you didn't found fault, had a falling out, one of your brothers and sisters, you're upset, you're pissed, you're like, hand me that Hennessy or whatever you do. But that bitterness, when it starts to arise, it creates one thing after another that creates an occasion for stumbling. Because you start gossiping, lying on them, talking about them, it creates that opportunity. And the hour we're living in now, Hashatan can't wait for you to take a break. If he can find one crack, anything, he'll come in like a roaring lion. That's why the Torah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of Yah will lift up a standard against him. Verse 10 also says that it says there is none occasion of stumbling in him. It says there is no scandal. That was one of your favorite shows. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother, you're in darkness still. You're not in the truth.
Okay.
All them brothers on the street corner cussing each other out and talking about, yeah, we're going to do, Most High going to deal with you in the kingdom, brother. I'm going to take you out. It's only going to be a third that's going to make it. Hallelujah. But he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not. Check this out. And you don't even know where you're going, because the darkness has blinded your eyes. That is a spiritual connotation, that you think you're in the truth, but you're actually in darkness because you have bitterness. And you don't even know where you are or where you're going spiritually. And when you're in the truth and you're awake, he gives you sight and direction. He speaks to you. He guides you, which is why we must walk in the Spirit. Then we will be in the light. All praises to the Most High for that. I want to go right into a study of the laws, and then we're going to go into this prayer. I want to talk about Daniel's prayer. But let's look at a study of the laws that were never done away with. First and foremost, you have to go into the archives and listen to many lessons that we've done on the Ten Commandments, where they're found at in the so-called New Testament, how each one is actually present there and spoken of by Yeshua and the apostles and Paul. And but more importantly today, and we did a wonderful lesson a couple of weeks ago in Acts 13 and 13 on down, about how every Sabbath they still got together just to hear the reading of the Torah and the Tanakh. And then they would preach, pray, exhort each other. Sound like a church service to me. But today I'm going to look at 1 John 3 and 24, because I always talk about 1 John 2 and 3. But let's read 1 John 3 and 24. Let's see how this one reads.
1 John 3 and 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. And he in him.
He that keeps the commandments, that's the one that dwells. And this is what you folks call the New Testament, and it's in the book of John. Yakanah. If you keep the commandments, then he's in you, and you're in him. Go ahead.
And hereby we know that he abideth in us, but the Spirit which he hath given us.
That is indicative of you keeping the commandments, that you will have the Ruach HaKadosh, which you call the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, he gives you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, which you find spoken of in Revelation, the attributes of the Holy Spirit. When he's in you, he gives you the Holy Spirit, but we see that he's not in you unless you're in him. And how am I in him? Through keeping the commandments. So if you're telling me the commandments are done away with and you're not keeping them, he's not in you and you're not in him. I have to wonder what is in you. I'll tell you, his name is Satan. And you can find out about him in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, because Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I shall be worshipped like the Most High. Every time you meet somebody who's saying, I'm not keeping that, I don't have to keep that, I will not keep that, you're dealing with a child of Satan. And their father is Hashatan, the father of lies. How do I know that? 1 John 2 and 3, which ties in with 1 John 3 and 24, says, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if you say you know him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So those that you meet that say, I don't have to do this, they don't know him, and they are liars when they tell you they do know him. They are the ones that will be found in the reading that Matthew's the seventh chapter speaks of. Depart from me, I never knew you. When they're going to come before our Father and talk about the great exploits, I gave money to the homeless, I prayed for the sick, I went to all the women's meetings and ministered to a lot of sisters, and I talked to the brothers. I was a big brother to the young brothers. Don't be like, depart from me, because on Friday nights you were at the club. On Monday through Friday, you sat up and ate pork in my people's face.
And on Sundays, you was at church looking at the women.
And on Sundays, you was at church looking at the women, too. It ain't nothing but a fashion show and a lust show. It's a pickup spot. And the sisters in there acting like they holy, but they like, girl.
Let me go talk
and,
to her.
And
man.
The deacons is some of the most lustful, sitting on the front bench, can't wait till offering time to look at all the legs that's walking by. And then they love going to church because they feel like that's a place they can get a holy hug.
Right.
And be like, oh, God bless you. So this is a bunch of foolishness. People, we got to wake up. Let's get Proverbs 19 and 16.
So Proverbs 19 and 16 says, he that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul.
Wow. Let's pause for a second. So once again, if you are not keeping the commandments, you're not keeping your soul. If you are lawless, your soul is out of control. You have emotional issues. And then you're going to the doctor talking about, I got anxiety, stress, can't sleep at night. He giving you pills, and that's pharmakia, and that becomes sorcery, and then you become demon-possessed. And let me tell you about a lot of folks that are caught up in Sunday church and don't want to keep the commandments, especially these homosexuals. They think today is their day. I pray that this be the day he rained down fire and brimstone in San Francisco, and that the holy people come out. He said that those people that are caught up into that lust, that sin of homosexuality, he said, I will turn them over to their own lust. Mm-hmm. So do you know a lot of them have been turned over to a reprobate mind, mm-hmm. and they still go to church on Sunday and thinks the Father hears them and that they're in good standing with him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You're no different if you're walking around here in fornication, you're breaking all the commandments and you think you're in good standing. No, you're not keeping your soul. And you're lawless. How can you stand in a court before a judge and try to plead without having any understanding of the law? Didn't that make some sense? Because when he brings you up on charges, what are you going to try to say? That you never knew about it? He made sure in scriptures that he said, no one will be able to be justified when they stand before me and say that they never heard this truth. Because of your disobedience and because of your desire to live in your lust, for a desire of a man to be, look at another man's shoulders and the hair on his back, and you got to have that, man, you are turned over to Satan for another woman to be grinding on another woman, two women in the mill grinding on each other. What are you doing? That is a spirit that has taken you over. That you are no longer in the natural creation that the Most High created you for, but you are lusting after your own self. And that is a form of idolatry, too.
Right, right. The thing that gets me about these homosexuals, the rainbow,
oh.
the symbol as their freedom or whatever, and that is the totally mockery of the Most High.
Well, you know that man died this year.
That's right.
And he lived in San Francisco, so they celebrated him at that little gay pride parade where they're expecting 1 million people.
Right.
You know what? That spirit is so strong. You got a lot of men in this area that will go to that parade just be like, I'm going to try homosexuality out tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See what this is all about.
It's sick. It's
and they're
a
becoming
sickness.
Bisexual.
It's a sickness.
It's demonic sickness. Possession.
Like I said, I mean, we can't compromise. I mean, they're displaying this rainbow flag like it's for them.
Yeah, I'm pissed off.
And that rainbow is a sign from the Most High and his people that he will not flood this earth again. And so, you know, I don't give any type of leeway when it comes to that. But we do know sin is sin. So if we are against that, we're against all sin, not just some sin.
Right.
And we can't say, oh, they're in sin and then we're in sin. ourselves. So sin is sin, and it is transgression of the law. So.
We have a right to judge with a righteous judgment, knowing that we're not in sin ourselves, because it said in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, know ye not that ye will judge angels?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to deal with each other as well, and deal with each other according to Scripture. And also Ezekiel lets us know that there'll be blood on our hands if we just shake our head and nod our finger. No, we're supposed to tell them that, you know, what you're doing is an abomination, and no, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I probably had some problems at different places of the job, because I was like, look, I don't hate you, I don't have a problem with you, but I'm not in agreement with your lifestyle.
Right.
You know, I should hate you, because most people think that the Most High loves the sinner but hates the sin. That's a lie. The Apocrypha makes it clear that he does not like the sinner who's doing that or the sin, because he didn't create that madness. It is outside of his creation.
Right.
So, yeah, they had 250,000 at the parade in Israel, but they're expecting 1 million here in San Francisco. So, you see, we got a lot of praying to do.
We do. And it's not just here. It's all over this world. It's
but they flying into San Francisco today
are,
so that they can just walk down the street naked, butt
right.
naked.
It's all over this world. I mean, we went to the mall yesterday, and, you know, what saddens me the most? I mean, it's sick, it's against it, but saddens me the most is when I see my brothers. My brothers in this. And that's what we saw, two black men walking and acting like females. It was just saddening. See that, because they don't know who they are, and I don't know, it just hurts my heart. You know, I'm not saying that everybody should be righteous, but you shouldn't fall into the sin and the sickness that has taken over our people. And it's like they're targeting our people, because, you know, you see, what was it, Moonlight that came out, a black man, and, this is the best film I ever saw.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So they turned that into a license for it to be okay to live like that. And they believe, and they truly believe. It's like this. You can't, most of these men can't get a job unless they act a little bit effeminate.
Right.
Because they're scared of a masculine, strong black man with a beard. They're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
That's why this world, I was sharing that I've got this, I'm growing this beard a lot longer now. And I refuse to shave it, but I keep it neat. I'm not crazy, because I know you're not sanctified by having a beard that goes down to your toes.
Right.
And they're going to do it for you. But I realize the world pushes for us to shave, be baby face, and some jobs won't even let you work unless you shave.
Okay.
That's a trick of the enemy to get you to be effeminate. Even in Arab culture and Muslim culture, they know if you walk around here with a shaved face, that is a sign of homosexuality. They say that, that you're letting them know that you're down with it and they can rape you as a man.
Mm-hmm.
They grow their beards and nobody say nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the culture that they push. Let me finish at the job. Most of these brothers that's getting these jobs, these retails especially, are working in these offices. They have to come across feminine to get the position. You come in too black, strong, Black Panther strong, they like, get that, call security. Can we help you? I'm here for the job. I'm sorry, we've already filled the position. It's just like that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
For all praises to the Most High for being able to be autonomous, blessing me with an opportunity to have my business and corporation confirmed by the state. And just the other day, when I was coming out of somewhere, brother was like, I think I know you, and what do you do? And I was like, man, I'm starting my own business, blah, blah, blah. He's like, man, that's smart. Are you hiring? I need a job. And I looked at this young man. He's about 28, strong, intelligent, solid brother, and can't find work. Do you know, once I get this thing up and running, I ain't doing nothing but hiring Hebrews. You best understand.
But write Hebrews.
Oh, I'm gonna do a background check on you, but I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No. Keep talking.
Focus up.
Yeah, I am focused. It was about something about what we were talking about, but you know, all in all, I just we just have to pray for our people.
Yeah, pray for our people, because I'm serious. Yes, that pride parade.
Is this weekend,
Deacon?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't ask because you was headed that way. Hey, listen, y'all stay up out that city.
Stay
it used to be a thing where people go just to look. Man, you don't want to go look. That's participating. The Most High told us not to even lay our eyes on it. I was telling my wife, I don't even want to see it on the news.
Yeah.
You turn on the news and they're going to be showing you all of their partying and revelry and what they're doing. Don't forget, when he pulled Lot and them out, he said, don't even turn around and look back.
Look back.
He said, because I'm about to handle this business. So that's how it's going down. Don't look at that, what they're doing, because I mean, there are some young men that are being molested. There's people that are being going to be drugged,
sacrificed,
roofies, because we got so much coming up. They got the Bohemian Grove in July where they'll be sacrificing people, where political figures will be flying in all over the world. This is a satanic witchcraft capital. The first satanic church started in San Francisco, that homosexuality on Castro Street. This is really satanic, and there's a spirit, a demon spirit, that hovers over this city that promotes that. You'll be then drove into that city and be like, look at his shoulders. And be wondering what happened to you.
No.
The power of demonic suggestion. You talking about, nah.
No, I'm
okay, and let me explain it. It's in Daniel, not the 9th chapter. I read this. Maybe Daniel, the 21st chapter, where Daniel was praying and went on a fast, a 21-day fast. And the Most High told him, the angel came to him and told him that the Most High heard your prayer the first day, and we sent the answer, but we couldn't get through the prince of that city, the demon that hovered over it. We had to fight him to get through to you to bring the answer.
Yeah.
He said, I had to go get another angel to help me to get through that realm. And I'll give, if you want a visual, think about that weapon that Reagan tried to come up with, Star Wars, to keep bombs from being able to penetrate and come in. Spirits have realms over cities that they control. See, people don't even know the spiritual aspect of it, of when the Bible says the whole world has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan have come down having great wrath. There are certain regions where certain things are more dominant, like the murder in Chicago.
Right.
Death, 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 death. And the homosexuality, we know it's in certain regions. So why would you want to go into that region where it's at an all-time high? It's called sex magic. Sodomy produces demonic activity and demonic possession. That's a demon. So you have thousands of people participating in sodomy at one time. Do you know how many demons are in that? They're walking around. So please pray this weekend.
You do. You have to pray.
Pray.
Especially for the children. You know, some of the people will take their kids over there just to think that it's okay. You know, they hear the word parade.
Right.
And it's like, oh, let's grab the family and let's go look at the parade.
Right.
Look at the clowns.
Drum major. Look at drum major.
Right.
Why drum major got breasts? Yeah, so we got
anyway,
parade.
We make fun, but it's serious.
Then. Did you finish that?
I did finish.
Oh, no, 16.
I read that.
The Bible, the second part.
But
he that despises his ways shall die.
That's right.
So if you despise the commandments, you will die. The Baruch 4:1, which is in the Apocrypha, which was in the Bible in the beginning, it was a part of the compilation of the scrolls. It's on one of our books, but it was also in that compilation. Let me tell you something. Back to practicality and common sense. If you go to John, the 8th chapter, I believe, and it says that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was on his way to the Feast of Dedication, how are you going to know about the Feast of Dedication if you don't have the Book of Maccabees? Pastors haven't been able to explain that for years. Pastor, where was Jesus going with this Feast of Dedication? They don't want to say. If you look in the Book of Maccabees, which is in the Apocrypha, you'll find out that the Feast of Dedication is in there and that Christ was keeping it. You see what I'm saying? But now that you're being armed with the truth, you know how to deal with that. So that's a good one. You can start with your pastor because they'll try to keep you out of the Apocrypha. So my point was.
You just been where? I don't know. I don't know what your point
all right. All praises to the Most High. I'm talking
keep
about the
commandments.
Book, no, Book of Baruch
right.
saying if
that's
you keep
right.
my commandments, it will produce life.
That's right.
4:1. So with that said, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to go into Daniel's prayer, which is the prayer of the hour for our Hebrews that is definitely much needed. All praises to the Most High.
We hog-tied and perplexed. Spirit straight back, yelling, let you free from the industrial complex. See, it's your mind that's enslaved. Yelling, I'm next to be tamed. Soldier, slave, we can brave. Who decides who gets in the game? Place your bets, yeah. Cause everywhere is war. You got war up in the streets, right? War. You got war up in your own life.
War.
You say, hey, it's your baby mama.
War.
It's about the kids, cause you do it all.
War.
Yeah, I know.
War.
Cause everywhere is war. Jericho come tumbling down. Blow ye the trumpets, it's the souls of the slaves crying out. Give her exactly what she gave. Her cup runneth over. Babylon the greatest gon' get judged by Jehovah. The kings of the earth is getting over. Drunk with the blood of the saints, she never sober. A fiery grave is her fate. For every time she free came, pay her back to her fate. Inferno, Arizona, cause that's the patience in the faith. What mama's eyes say? You got war up in the streets, right?
War.
You got war up in your own life.
War.
You say you hate your baby daddy, huh?
War.
He ain't no man, so you gon' get you one.
War.
Welcome back. How long is that off?
So what I want to say is that we do need a healer as a people. I played that first song about warfare because we're in spiritual warfare. And I'm playing this healing because Israel needs a healing. And we're going to read about that prayer in Daniel, the 9th chapter. We need a major healing because we don't have the core foundation as we have come into the light of the truth. What I was saying when I thought the radio was on is that we can't keep rebuking people for being in certain capacity of truth because you don't want to expose something to them and they have nowhere else to go. I'm so grateful to this day of the foundation I had, which was in the Christian church, where I was forced to teach Sunday school at 14 years old to my peers that were my same age. That was a lot of pressure, too. They looking at me like, what you talking about? But it was priceless to be able to sit up all night, Saturday night, and get my lesson together. And I used to have a Strong's Concordance back then, trying to understand Hebrew so I could better give them understanding of the word. I didn't even know what all that was for until now. And it's important for you to have an elder in your area. Everybody wants to be like, how are you an elder? Tell down. I never forget a brother said to his wife, to tell my wife, how the hell is he an elder? And you know what? I don't want to like tear the brother down, but till this day, I wished he would have let me pour into his life, because he does not have anybody to speak to him, lay hands on him, and pray with him about being a man, and not just a man of Yah. And that's what he needs. You need somebody in your area that can lay hands on you, anoint you into your office, anoint you into your calling, baptize you, create communion services. And you need to see this. Your children need to see this. This is important stuff. So a lot of you of us are waking up and we're hurting and we need help because we just don't have the foundation. Waking up into what? You got to have a relationship with Yeshua. You've got to get skilled on milk. You have to exercise your discernment and your spirit to know. And not just somebody who, oh, I feel something ain't right. No, you need to know your discernment based on the word. And if there's a lot of you that don't even know the word. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. We fellowshipped with a brother who don't want to be Hebrew. He want to be an Israelite like the Khazars. And we begin to try to go through precepts with him. And he's an older man, like 60. And he's like, brother, I don't memorize scriptures. And I don't study with nobody. And I stay to myself because I need to protect me. And no man is an island unto himself. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you're not memorizing scriptures, I mean, first of all, it should just come out of you. Because, see, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, one of its major jobs is to bring back to remembrance everything you've read. So if you're relying on yourself to memorize that stuff, sometimes I may not remember the exact chapter or the exact book, but the verse of scripture will just pop up in my head through the gifting of the Holy Spirit that comes through those, the Ruach, that keep the commandments. So I urge you to fellowship again with those close to you. Find an elder, be baptized. Be accountable to one another. Confess your sins to one another. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even so much more as you see the day approaching. Our prayer as Israel throughout the four corners of the earth should be as Daniel prayed. Now, this is a very prophetic chapter that gets into the 70 weeks and 7-7, but I'm not going into that. I want you to pay attention to what Daniel was doing in the first part of the chapter and what his prayer was, because we're in that predicament right now, in that situation. So let's go through it. Daniel, the 9th chapter at the first verse. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made rule over the Babylonian kingdom, and we are in Babylon, the whore of Babylon right now, we're dealing with that. It says that in second verse, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Most High given to Jeremiah. Now, Daniel had been reading the book Jeremiah wrote, the prophet. He said that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Most High Yah and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry, that particular version was not the right version. I don't want to read from that version that popped up on my computer. Yeah, that brother had to check in and say, brother, what kind of book you reading out of? That brother was reading out of a Mossad Jewish ISIS Bible, something that he found at the airport. Let me get this out of my Bible, because I was reading off the computer. I don't know about your Bible either. What was that?
King James. You didn't say that.
All right. Daniel's the 9th chapter. I'm going to start over. And I want you to see the parallels between how we're living and what's going on in our area, and this should be our prayer and how we should be coming before the Most High as we pray for the sins of our forefathers and we pray for our people. So let me skip down to verse 3. Daniel said, and I set my face unto the Most High Yah to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I know a lot of our awake Hebrew people don't even fast. They don't know what it is to turn off the TV and put on some simple clothes and just humble yourself, not even worry about showering, and just don't answer the phone, don't text, don't tweet, and just pray. Y'all can't even do that. Don't worry, don't feel bad, because even your shot turned around and looked at the apostles and said, can y'all not pray for 1 hour? You know, we like to get up and go to the gym, but one day I said, we need to stay home this morning and pray for that hour instead of going to the gym for an hour. Because bodily exercise profited little when it compared to the spirit. So verse 4, and I prayed unto the Most High, my Yah, and made my confession and said, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. Let me say that again. Verse 4, he said, he keeps his covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. The Most High will be faithful and true, because he's not a man that he should lie. But he keeps his commandments only, his covenant to the ones that keep his commandments. So I want you to hear something here, because a lot of people like to dispute this. They like to say, okay, well, if we're under the curses and we're in our final captivity, what good does it do me to keep the commandments right now, because we're still going to be under the curses? But if you understand Deuteronomy 28, you will understand that there was the blessings and the curses. The blessings would come upon you if you kept the commandments. And this is confirmed hundreds, thousands of years later with Daniel, as he says that the Most High keeps his covenant. He will not lie. If he set it in stone and in your hearts, it says that mercy, covenant and mercy to them that love him, he'll show mercy on you as we live today, and he will perform his covenant, meaning he will give you blessings even in this captivity. Do you know you can be, we're in captivity. We see curses around us. It breaks our heart to see these shootings, but I'm going to say something that sounds harsh. But I get it from my brother Ray in Seaside. Should have been keeping them commandments. I hate to tell you this, but some of the people that you see in bad things happen to them, it is because of the curses, but it's also because they're not keeping the commandments. A lot of our people are in idolatrous ways, fornication, homosexuality, everything. I hate to say it, and the reason I hate minds do, every time somebody gets hurt, they want to do a background check and tell you, oh yeah, you know, by the way, he was a dope dealer. And they do that to us. They try to demonize the people that they shot to make it seem justifiable. But at the same time, that is a sin for someone to be selling drugs to our people and killing our people and pushing witchcraft. So I hate the demonization that they use it for, but the fact of the matter, it was a sin, and that they probably did reap what they sowed, and they weren't keeping the commandments, because that's not something someone who's living Kodesh would be doing. So Daniel confirms here that the Most High will keep his promise of the blessings that he spoke of in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 for those that keep the commandments. Verse 5 tells us the reason that we're in this, because he said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and we have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. This is so indicative of our hour right now, because sin and iniquity, according to 1 John 3 and 4, is transgression of the law when people break the law. You see it all the time, and I think you minimize what you see. People that say, I'm not doing that, I don't want to do that, I don't like that, I like this culture, I want to be a part of this culture, I want to go here, well, that's fine for y'all. You know, it's because the commandments and the Most High God, Yah, is not a reality to them. And it's not a reality to them because they have not had an experience with him. Now, I'm not going to say that's going to do it all, because the children of Israel heard him speak as thunder and lightning, and they was like, take that over there, because we scared of him. And as Moses took it over there to the left and went to the top of the mountain, they began to turn up because they didn't want to be in his presence. So we see it today that people rebel against God. My wife tells me all the time, her co-workers, she'll tell them, I'm not eating that pork and shrimp, and they'll keep offering it to her. And they'll keep laughing at her for not eating it. Your kids know what you're watching, what you're doing, and they don't want no parts of it. Your family
keep inviting you to things they shouldn't invite you to. It's just kind of straight. They know what you stand for, and they're rebelling. Okay, so our people purposely sin. And I'm telling you, there's a mechanism that lets them know deep in their knower on the inside. Old people used to say you're knower. There's a mechanism that tells you when you're overriding the commandments. Everybody knows to do right in their heart, but they'll be like, they'll try to justify their sins. It's just like that brother down there at the last fellowship we had to justify a lot of things because he's married outside of his culture. His whole family has. And he wants to put them all in the kingdom. They can make it into the kingdom if they keep the commandments, but they don't preach, teach the commandments. They teach, preach, act like the Khazars, and you'll get in. Right? And the Khazars are acting like us. What kind of madness is that?
Confusion.
That is confusion. And who's the author of confusion? Daniel 9 and 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and we have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and the judgments. Verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, thy servants, the prophets, meaning that people don't even want to understand that the Tanakh, which is what the apostles and Yeshua was reading, the Tanakh, which was prophecy of our time, we don't want to hear what they prophesied we would be doing. It's all in the Tanakh. The prophets came to warn us, and they confirmed each other. It said, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. They were all warned and told to keep the commandments, and we're still warning, telling people today. Daniel 9 and 7. O Elohim, Most High, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. There you go. Confusion of faces. That is so deep because it says faces. It's very distinct in saying confusion of faces. In other words, let me bring that out. Meaning shame and unfaithfulness is what you see when it speaks of confusion of faces. You see the shame. As at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. This is in reference to what happened during the transatlantic slave trades, all the slave trades, which we're vastly approaching 400 years, but spread throughout the four corners of the earth because we walked away from the commandments and we're in our trespasses and we have confusion on our faces as to what the hell is going on with our community, with our people, with the hatred we experience, with the poverty we experience, with the death we experience, because you are transgressing against the commandments. Remember, this is a prayer from Daniel. For this time, Daniel, so prophetic, a book so akin to the book of Revelations. Daniel 9 and 8. O Most High, Yah, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Did you know how profound that is? This is why we don't speak to each other, because of the shame. This is why we walk by each other. This is why we try to get turned up, medicate, get high, don't want to deal, just want to abuse each other with each other's flesh. We are in a predicament. We have no country, no money, no war. No one will save us. These are the curses. But knowing is half the battle. Daniel 9 and 9. To the Lord, to the Most High, our Yah, belong mercies and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, there are still mercies and there is still forgiveness. This is him talking about mercy and grace here in Daniel 9 and 9. But to repent is to come back to the commandments. Now, you'll notice I'm not using Lord, which means Baal in Hebrew. And I'm not using God because that is a disservice to the Most High Yah to call him God, because there are many gods in this world. That's just a title, which means theos. But unto the Most High Yah, our power, belongs grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's time to repent, brothers and sisters, and humble yourself. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Most High Yah to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Walking in the laws is true repentance for you, your family, yourself, your forefathers, for our people. Let us repent for the ones who have not yet come into the law and awakened, because the scripture tells us that we are living epistles read of by men. If they won't pick up the Torah and Tanakh and the book to read it, let them see your life, your lifestyle, and let it be a testimony unto the Most High. Daniel 9 and 11 says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Yah, because we have sinned against him. How powerful. All of Israel, it's poured on us because we departed. It was in our nature to depart because we wanted to be like the other nations. You got to stop siding with people that constantly want to be like the other nations. If you can't love yourself, love your own. I don't really want to get into this because a lot of people would think that I'm not loving the other nations. And I love the nations. I love the other races. And they are, some of them are going to sojourn with us because they're going to keep these commandments. I love all people, but I know that they don't all love us. I know a lot of them want to be like us. But see, what's happening is they're not going into the kingdom unless they keep these commandments too. But the fact of the matter is that the commandments were only given unto Israel to give to the other nations and teach and preach to them. Daniel 9 and 12, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. All these killings and shootings that just confound our spirits. A great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. This has never happened to another people ever in life, what has happened to us, because we don't want to keep the commandments. It is not a light thing for somebody to tell you, I'll do that later, I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it. They're just acting out what got us in this situation. The people that are telling you I don't have to do that are the same people that put us in this situation. It is very hard for me to look at Israel and our people and be okay when they want to eat shrimp, crab, and lobster in my face. I'm like, it's because of you, Negrolite, that I'm under these curses. It's because of you. It's because of you, the one that's ordering bacon in my face. It's because of you. My people getting shot down. Y'all don't want to see it like that. Then my baby's getting shot in the back because of you. That's saying I'm going shopping and kicking it on Saturday, and then Sunday, that's going to be my Sabbath, but I'm still going to go out to dinner after church and get into some fornication and go to the movies and get ready for work on Monday. Man, it's because of you, that same spirit. And you're absolutely right. Everybody thinks it's a license to ill, a license to sin. Let's see. And he that hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judge us. Let me skip down to 13. Daniel 9 and 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord, the Most High. Turn from our iniquities and understand his truth. It's written in the law that all this evil is on us. It's already, we have the understanding in Deuteronomy 28. We have the understanding in Psalms 83 that all the other nations are confederate against us. They don't want us to wake up. That's why they keep showing you these slave movies, these roots movies, and these, they want you to keep thinking you came from Africa, that you're a Hamite. They don't want you to wake up, but you're waking up. And we have a duty to at least tell our people about Deuteronomy 28, Psalms 83, Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9 as a foundation, and then get them to understand that the price has been paid by Yeshua. But we must follow him as he followed the holy days and the commandments, and he taught the commandments. He didn't teach, now you good because you said this prayer in Romans and you joined the church. You can go do whatever the hell you want to, but just be here on next Sunday and pay your 10%. That's a lie. Come to the commandments, statutes, and laws that got us in trouble by not keeping them. Verse 14, therefore hath the Most High watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Most High looking at the evil, he sent it. He said, okay, you don't want to be a Hebrew, huh? All right, I got you. You don't want to keep my blueprint for your life. I got you. Let's see. Oh, so you wanna be heathenistic, dress like them, and follow their ways instead of following me, my protection. Okay, I got you. Okay, I got you. And so after he said that, he turned around. Hey, Gabriel, Michael, go get them angels and demons. Send them down there and put that on them people for generations to come. They don't want to keep these commandments because they're going to find out who they're playing with. And check this out. They're going to burn. They're going to learn today, and they're going to burn. But you know what that is? I want you to hear closely what that is. I need you to go back in mind and think about you and your kids. What'd you say? Oh, okay. All right. I've been sneaking in the house in the ninth grade at 2 a.m. Whoa, they didn't hear me come in. Next thing I know, the sheets went back, and I felt leather all on my behind. Tearing me up, but that's your parents who love you. First, they were scared to death because you were gone. Then you got home, they had such a seething, raging anger that they just want to beat you back into submission. And the Bible said, spare not the rod. He said, I chasten them that I love. We're being chastened. And it hurts to see somebody being shot down in the streets. But when I see my Hebrews out there thinking they're supposed to be like the other nations and a man humping on a man and a woman humping on a woman, when I see our brothers with their pants sagging, acting a fool, but want to hate each other and shoot each other, and we're feeling sorry, we're crying, I do feel sorry. But what are you doing to play your part? Tell them to repent and come back to the commandments. We got Christian pastors going to the jails to preach, but they're preaching the lies to them. We need you Hebrew brothers to get up off the corner and go into the jails and preach the truth. But you can't do it because you got a record as long as your pants. I think I got off on a tangent there. Are you with me? Come back.
I'm with you.
Verse 14. Let me read this again. 9 and 14. Therefore hath the Most High watched upon the evil. He's sitting back like, nah, it ain't time yet. And his elders up in the kingdom, up in heaven right now saying, yeah, how much longer? How much longer? He like, y'all just chill. I'll say when it's time. So even with that being said, let me go back to this other thing so y'all know that I don't hate the other nations. He said, until the dispensation of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. So this is an era and time because of Yeshua that the Gentiles are being given an opportunity, which was also introduced through Paul as Peter was chastened and told to receive them. When that time is full, which we need to preach to them, y'all need to repent and keep the commandments too. And everybody wake up. Then he's going to send our brother back to come save us. That's right. I said save us because you're not saved yet. Tell me, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the mighty burning fire. You can't even keep yourself 5 minutes. You're not saved. We're not saved yet. We're waiting for our redemption, our salvation to return. And he brought this upon us, verse 14, for the Most High, our Yah, is righteous in all his works, which he does. But we obeyed not his voice. Do you remember what would happen when you didn't listen to your parents? This is our Abba, our Father. He reached down out the dirt, the black and brown dirt, some red dirt too. I'm talking about red clay. I ain't talking about that. I shouldn't even say it that. He reached up out the dirt, formed you, and then he called the Ruach to come and breathe into you. And then he gave you a set of instructions. And you want to keep breaking them. Daniel, you praying. Man, Daniel, you are praying. And you praying way into the future. This prayer is so powerful and prophetic. Verse 15. And now, O Yah, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned. We've done wickedly. This takes me back right here at this portion of his prayer to, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. Yes, I'm hurt. And they want me to be hurt. They want me to be hurt to the point where I walk away from Yah. They want me to see these shootings. That's why they're making sure they're recorded in 30 different angles, put it on Facebook, on the news. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your spirit because when they show you these things, they remind you of the yoke of iron on our necks that broke us. Because let me tell you about the yoke of iron on our necks, spoken of in Deuteronomy 28. There came a point in time where they took the yoke of iron off the slaves' necks because they said, we have broken them, and they will stay broken. We don't need the iron on their necks no more. We have broken their spirits. We have broken their wills. They'll always hate each other and be down on each other because of the Willie Lynch letters. And it's true. They have made us afraid and scared. I got pissed off the day a young man in North Carolina goes to high school, and every day he said, I'm called nigga at least 10 times. And he said, I was walking home from school, and another high school kid jumped out with a lynching rope and started chasing me home. I would have whooped that Edomite's yellow tail. Because red tail, whatever the hell it is, what I'm saying is that what you see in that young man is the fear that's in our people still from the curses of Deuteronomy 28. It said that we would be afraid. But now that I'm in these commandments, I don't have no fear. You know what I'm afraid of? What I might do to somebody. But I'm not afraid of death. Because I'm trying to keep these commandments. Because one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. Let me finish reading. You're just hearing my passion because it is ramping up. It's not because of just Trump and make America great again. There's a spirit in the earth because you Israelites are waking up, and there are more demons in the earth, and there's fear in the earth of the other nations that have shed the blood of our innocent people, and they know retribution is coming and recompense is coming, and everybody's not comfortable. There's an uncomfortableness in the air. Let's finish Daniel's prayer out. This is so prophetic and powerful. He said, see, he's putting us in remembrance now, has gotten thee renown. He said, when you took them out of Egypt, everybody knew that their God was the only one true God. 16 said, O Most High, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. I need you to pay attention to this because this needs to be our prayer daily for the sins of our forefathers and what our people are going through. Stop watching these damn videos. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. That is us. We're a reproach. We're hated by everybody. He's beginning to pray. According to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, I plead with you, Father, please let your anger and fury be turned away from our people. Please have mercy. We are sorry. We're coming back to your commandments. I mean, I could be out at the movies today, or shopping, or using my money on heathenistic things, but no, I love you and I love my people, and I want to see you come back and save us and heal us. Please have mercy on us. Verse 17, now therefore, O our Yah, hear thy prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Most High's sake. O my Yah, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. So that you'll have mercy on us. O Yah, hear, O Most High, forgive, O power, and hearken, and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my Yah, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We're your people. Please have mercy on us, because the ones that are called by your name, and we were called by his name, the Hebrews, they changed our names to these Ben and John and Jake, and we were not any of those names. All of our names had Yah in it. We are the people called by his name. Have mercy on us because we are your children. We call our names Israel and Yasha Allah and Torah because we're coming back to our roots. Please have mercy on your people. Are you praying this daily? Or are you forsaking him and turning your back on your brothers and sisters that are homeless and desolate, that don't know the truth, that don't know why we're being shot down, why we're hated by every nation because of Psalms 83? What part are you playing? See, don't get like that brother last week that was down there, get self-righteous. because you have self-hate. Because a lot of our people subconsciously hate our race and hate what we're going through, so they try to disassociate themselves from it by making themselves better, all in the name that I've changed and you can be like me and change. And I protect myself from going back to the state I was in by removing myself. That's a bunch of foolishness. Who do you think you are? What you have is self-hatred and self-righteousness. My brother was just commenting, the invisible preacher, that we're the only group of people that they sought to change their names and name them after them and after their plantation, so we wouldn't be able to relate to the Most High Yah. Ahayah, Asha, Ahayah. The great I am, meaning I am everything you could imagine. We were named after that. And we are him, he is us. Everything we read in the beginning, I dwell in you and you dwell in me when you keep my commandments. I don't know how much more powerful you need a verse to be when you read those verses and still want to look me in my eye and say, we don't have to do that no more. You've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, Jedi mind trick to believe that. Come back to our ways. Come back to our culture that was robbed from us since the Spanish Inquisition. I didn't say come back to the language that Eliezer ben Yehuda created, which is Yiddish and German, and start following Tetragrammaton and the Talmud. I didn't say that. I said come back to our culture, which is found in the Torah, Tanakh, and in the scrolls. Because he also said in Isaiah that with stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak to them. So he's going to speak to you in English, German, Russian, wherever you've been scattered, and let you find out the truth. Then he wants to see what you're going to do from there. Will you worship him with all your heart and to the best of your ability by keeping Sabbath, holy days, and the commandments? Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't listen to these people that are throwing you off focus. What is the focus? I'm not going to go into the rest of Daniel 9 because that's Gabriel's interpretation. That deals with the prophecy in 70 weeks. That deals with Christ being born. I just want you to hear the prayer. But the focus is here, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments. That's it. This is the whole duty. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. This is the whole duty. So I'm giving you a blueprint for your life today. Brothers and sisters, I pray for you that you make it. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the sins of our forefathers. And, man, what you're doing is not a light thing. To walk down the street in your fringes, to wear your T-shirts, to tell people I'm awake. But you don't do it out of hate. Do it out of love for your people. Makes me want to holler the way they do our lives. All praises be to the Most High. Sister Tamar, you want to say something?
Shabbat Shalom. I hope you enjoy your Sabbath day.
Yep, we want you to get to the rest of your Sabbath. And, oh, man, brother, got to be cracking up. Well, y'all better stop focusing on the minors and focus on the major. Keep these commandments in these holy days. That's what we're going to do. That's what we have to do. Oh, it went off.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't see that. Okay, so y'all pray for us. We'll pray for you. Next time you hear our voices, Most High willing, you'll be hearing waterfall in the background, some dolphins singing, mm-hmm. some birds whistling.
That's a much-needed snoring.
All praises to the Most High. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. That's a big mistake. Because this truth is a journey. It never stops. You never stop learning until you're 6 feet under. It's a journey and not a destination. You don't have it all right now. Quam Yasha'alam, which means let's rise, Hebrews. Let's rise. All praises to the Most High. Brother D, thank you for being here. And everyone else listening under the sound of my voice, enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Be faithful. Stay true to it, man. It's working for you. Know this. It's working for you. It's working for your health. It's working for your pockets. It's working for you. Get rid of the complaining. Let's rise, Israel. be strong and in the power of his might. So this is my song. For those that don't understand it, this is what I tell Hashatan all the time.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
I'm gonna send him to outer space.